This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Would you turn there with me, please? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another. We're supposed to have affection for one another. The Greek word that's translated kindly affectionate is one word. And what it really means is a kind of love that's a family love. The idea is that we are to be devoted to one another as family. Not based on who we are or what our characteristics are. We are to love one another just cause we're family. And we're to have affection for one another. Let me tell you something about Priscilla. Well, not about her, it's about me, really. But I've never even said this to her. But sometimes Priscilla will come back into my office at home, and she'll just be standing there talking to me. I give her the privilege of coming into the inner sanctum sometimes. And she'll just be there standing there talking. And I'll just look at her, and suddenly this great feeling of affection will just come on me. And I'm sorry to have to admit this, but she may be saying something. I may miss a few words of what she's saying because I just feel it. I look at her and I go, oh, wow. I can't explain it, but there's the affection. I mean, we are tied together. We are knit together. We are bonded together. Have you ever been there? Amen. That's what God is talking about. That feeling of affection for one another, for family that comes up within us. Understand, God is talking. He's not talking about passion. That's not what it's about. Amen. It's a pure love that he's talking about. But it's to be deep affection for one another. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 32. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ forgave you." The word I want you to focus on is tender-hearted. Do you know we are supposed to be tender-hearted about one another? What's the opposite of tender-hearted? Hard-hearted. Amen? Hard-hearted. You ever known a hard-hearted person? You ever know somebody that's hard-hearted, seems like toward everybody? Amen? God says we as believers, as the family of God, are to be the exact opposite of hard-hearted. We are to be tender-hearted toward one another. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verses 11 through 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 11, and I'm going to read this from the New International Version. It says, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also." Do you see the plea Paul is making to the Corinthian church? He's saying, look, we have opened our hearts to you. You need to open your hearts to us. That's the way Christians ought to be with one another. Tender-hearted, open-hearted. Having an open heart for one another. What does that mean? Open-hearted means not defensive, not holding ourselves in, not blocking ourselves off, but open to one another. We are to feel for one another. And we are to be willing to express our affection for one another. And you know what? For many of us, that's a problem. Amen? For many of us, that's a problem. Some people don't have a problem opening their hearts because they have an emotionally expressive personality. But for many of us, it's a problem. We are more emotionally guarded than we are open. Amen? Anybody there? Amen? Some of us are shy. Mm-hmm. Some of us are just very private people. Isn't that right? And some of us are downright standoffish. Amen? Uh-huh. It's just, for many of us, it's just uncomfortable to express a lot of emotion with other people. So let's read that verse again, Romans 12:10, and see if we can understand how we can deal with this verse if we are not a naturally emotionally expressive person. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, unless you are shy, unless you are a private person, or unless that person has offended you. Does everybody see that in your Bible? I'm looking for the exceptions in that verse. Where are the exceptions? For your personality? For the fact that that person may be getting on your nerves? No, what does it say? Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another without exception all the time. This is not just something you do. This is the way you are. That's what that verse is telling us. Amen? Now, how many of us are not naturally emotionally expressive people? We're kind of private. We're kind of guarded. How many of us are here who are like that? Most of us. So we need to know how to do this. Isn't that right? Because here's a principle. Here's a principle. God never commands us to do something that we cannot do. The fact that God tells us to do it means that it can be done. The fact that God says be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love means that for any of us who are Christians, who are being obedient to the word, it's possible. Let's find out some ways we can do it. Number one, the fact that God commanded us to do it and we don't know how to do it. What do we do, Christians, when there's something that we need and we can't get it for ourselves? We don't know how to get it for ourselves. Christian, what's the first thing you do? Ask God. Ask God. We need, number one, to ask God to have the kind of affection for one another that he's told us to have. What does the scripture tell us? You have not. Why? Because you ask not. We need to make this an issue of serious prayer. But you know what most of us tend to do when we're confronted with something like this? What we tend to do is just say, I can't do that, and let it go. Oh, no, I'm not made that way. Oh, no, that will take me too far out of my comfort zone. Can't do that. Understand something, brothers and sisters. To refuse to be kindly affectionate toward our brothers and sisters in Christ is disobedience to God, and it is sin. It is not something that's optional. It's not something that we can choose to do if we feel like doing. If we don't do it, we are violating the commandment of God. We are in sin. What would you say about a mother who never shows any affection for her child? Oh, she takes care of the child. She changes the diaper. She feeds it. But there is no affection in her manner for that child at all. What would you think about a mother like that? You'd say there's something wrong, wouldn't you? What God is telling us is when we don't have affection for one another as the children of God, there's something wrong. We got to do something about it. It's not something that we can tolerate. It's something that we have to say, God has commanded this. It's the way the family is supposed to be. God, I need your help. Oh, I'm not content just to say, I can't do that. I'm not made that way. No, Lord, you can give me what I need to do this, and I'm asking for your help. We have to come to the Lord and lay it on the line. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Look at verses 6 and 7. You know these verses. When we're faced with something we don't know how to handle, but we are committed to handling it, what do we do? Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in how much? All things, everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No, we don't sit back and say, I can't do it. That's beyond me. I'm not made that way. No, we say, Lord, I'm bringing this thing to you. You said to do it. You said to have that kind of affection for my brothers and sisters, to open my heart to them. It's not easy for me, Lord. It's not natural for me. But you said to ask for what I need. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John, in the end of your New Testament. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If we ask according to the will of God, God has promised he'll do it. Amen? Now, is it the will of God for us to open our hearts to our brothers and our sisters, to display our affection for one another? Is that the will of God? That's what we just read, isn't it? What does that mean? If we take it to God in prayer, and we seriously pray about it, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. God will answer our prayer. So the issue is not whether we have that personality or not. The issue is, are we willing to be obedient to God and to ask him for what we need? Here's the second thing. First thing is, we need to ask for it. Amen? The second thing is, we need to act on it. Look at Romans 12:10 again. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. It says, be kindly affectionate. What does that mean? We need to show our affection. We need to show our affection. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. How many of you believe the Bible? Let me see. How many of you believe the Bible? All right. How many of you believe that when a command is given in the scripture, it ought to be obeyed? Let me just see. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, let me tell you, there is one person in this room that I am willing to greet with a holy kiss. Amen. Now, what's going on here? We'll talk about the holy kiss in a moment. But understand, what God is saying is, we need to show and demonstrate affection for one another. That's what the holy kiss is all about. It is a demonstration. It is putting into action our affection for one another. Let me show you something else here. Go over to Romans chapter 16. Do you know there are five places in the New Testament where that command is given to greet one another with a holy kiss? Five different places. That means it was important. Now I'm going to do something. I'm going to read something. It's going to be a little bit long, but that's okay. I want you to see something. Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Then look at verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apollos, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Trophina and Tryphosa. Wow. Who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus. Now that one I can pronounce. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Those of you, by the way, who have been laughing at me, I'm going to let you read the scripture next time. Now, I wanted you to see all those greet one another's. Greet this one and greet that one and greet this one. Why? Why is that important? Look at the next verse, verse 16. Greet one another how? With a holy kiss. Paul is saying, spread this affection around. I mean, you just spread it all over the church. Everybody, it seems like everybody Paul ever met, he's saying, greet them. Greet them for me. And how? With demonstrated affection. With a holy kiss. Now, what do we need to learn from this? For those of you who have been sitting there in anticipation, I must tell you that culturally, we don't do the holy kiss. Why? Because it wouldn't mean the same today as it meant in that culture. Amen? If we were doing the holy kiss today, there'd be some questions about this church. We need to do something a little bit different. I need another couple of people here. I need a man and I need a woman. Now, let me demonstrate what we do today. All right. Now, this is my brother. Amen. And I don't have any problem coming up to him and giving him a big hug. Hallelujah. And with my sister here, praise the Lord. Now, with some of the sisters, I'll hug you, but not all the time. Amen. That's something that has, you know, you got to be very sensitive about. That's our holy kiss, y'all. Amen. It's not as dramatic as a kiss, is it? But it's a demonstration of affection. Thank you. Thank you. It's a demonstration of affection. It's putting it into action. It's not something that we just say, oh yeah, I love the brothers, I love the sisters, and we just kind of sit in our seat. Why do you think we have a greeting time every Sunday? It's an opportunity to demonstrate some affection for one another. Now, I am not a natural hugger. I have to tell you, there was a time in my life when I didn't want you coming near me. But then I went to a church, a hugging church, when I was in Colorado. And guess what? I had to make a choice. Am I going to demonstrate some affection, or am I going to back away and stand off in the corner and say, everybody but me? Now, many people are like I was. Amen. You come up to them, and if you even look like you might be getting ready to hug, you can feel them kind of pulling away, backing away. And understand, if that happens, you need to respect it. If somebody is not ready for that kind of demonstration of affection, you can't force it on them. Amen? You got to be sensitive about that thing. But the other side of that is we need to know that we are called upon to both give and to receive that kind of affection, demonstration of affection to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's who we are. That's what the church is all about. And if it's hard for us to do, number one, what do? Pray and ask God to help us and then make up our mind. I'm going to do it. Amen. Anybody with me on that? You believe that? Are you ready to demonstrate some affection to the brothers and sisters? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Stand up. I want you to go to three people of the same sex, the same gender, and give them a hug right now. All right. Amen. Put it into action. Put it into practice. Here's number three. How do we learn to show that kind of affection to one another? We need to love our brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters. We need to love our brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters. How many of you have a special place in your heart for members of your family, of your natural family? Isn't that right? Amen. My cousin down in Tennessee was telling me on the phone recently about some other cousins that she had met that I didn't know anything about. I've never met them. I didn't even know they existed until she told me about them. Well, you know, I was thinking about that. Next time I go down to Tennessee, if I meet these people, you know what? I will not meet them as strangers. Even though I've never met them before, I couldn't tell you one of their names right now. The fact that they are family would make a difference right off the bat. Amen? I would see them differently and I would treat them differently because they are family. And that's the way we need to look at one another. We are indeed family. We are part of the family of God if you're a Christian. Amen? We are indeed, in truth, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not just a way of talking. When I grew up in the church, we called one another brother this and sister that. And it got to be just a habit. But it's much more than that. We truly are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to look at one another and see one another as family. It needs to make a difference in the way that we view one another. So see that person as family. Family makes a difference. Amen? You expect your family to treat you a certain way, and you're going to treat them a certain way. Well, guess what? Even if the other person doesn't treat you the way family should treat one another, you treat them that way. You take the action first. Amen? And remember, feelings follow action. Here's number four. Fourth way that we learn to demonstrate affection to one another. We need to deliberately honor that person in our heart. We need to deliberately honor that person. Look back at Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. We need to honor that person in our heart. What does it mean to honor someone? Honor refers to the worth, the value, the merit that that person has. And to honor someone is to show genuine appreciation for who they are. If you remember, we've been talking the last few weeks about Romans 12:9, which says we are to hate the evil, but do what? Hate the evil, cling to the good. What does that mean? We've got to honor that person. We've got to focus in, look for the good things that God has placed in their life and minimize the bad things. Go over to Proverbs chapter 19. Look at verse 11. The way most of us are most of the time is when we think about people, we look more for what's wrong with them than for what's right. We are much more prone to think about and talk about the faults that people have than about their good qualities, especially if those faults are getting on our nerves. But look at this, Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to, what's the word? Overlook a transgression. Instead of taking out our microscope and looking that person over for every fault and failure we can find, and then using the microscope to magnify that thing, what does the scripture tell us? We need to overlook some stuff. How many of us here have some faults and failures in our lives? Let me just see. If you didn't raise your hand, one of your faults is lying. Amen. Now, how many of us really enjoy it when people magnify our faults? When they take something that we think is this big and they blow it up in their eyes till it's this big. How many of us enjoy that? How many of us take that as a sign that that person really loves us? No, of course not. The Bible says that there are some times when the best thing we can do for somebody is just to overlook the way they fail. Overlook their shortcomings. And let me tell you something. If you keep thinking about and talking about the negatives in somebody's life, you are already defeated. You will never have a godly love for that person. You'll never be able to have that sincere, kindly affection that Paul is talking about. If you keep talking negative and thinking negative and talking negative and thinking negative about somebody, you can't have affection for that person. Some of you know who Terrell Owens is. Amen? Terrell Owens played last year. Receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. I said he played last year because this year is yet to be determined. And you may know that Terrell has said after the Super Bowl, he said some negative things about Donovan McNabb publicly on TV. Now, I don't know T.O. Never met the man, But I know something about his emotions. I know something about his feelings. This man has no affection for his quarterback, Donovan McNabb. How do I know that? Because if you have affection for somebody, you don't trash them. If you have affection for somebody, you don't focus on and pick out some little thing and blow it up. And as Donovan McNabb put it, you don't throw your teammate under the bus. Amen? You see, the fact that you are will talk about somebody that way says there is no affection in you for that person. Well, we need to draw a lesson from that, don't we? How many of us, let's be honest here, how many of us ever talk negatively about somebody else in the church? Let me just see. Ever talk negatively about somebody else in the church? Amen. As long as we are pointing our finger at somebody, looking for the little spots, we cannot have true affection for that person. It's an affection killer. That's why Jesus said, what? Judge not, that you be not judged. If you get ready to judge somebody, you need to make sure that you get the telephone pole out of your eye before you go looking for the little speck in their eye. Amen? Because that kind of attitude that dishonors a person will kill affection. Instead of demanding honor from other people, we need to take the initiative to give honor to them. Here's number five. Take action to give preference to the person. Look at Romans 12:10 again. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Giving preference to one another. If we're going to stir up those affectionate feelings for one another, we need to take action to actually give preference to the person, to put them ahead of yourself, to serve them, to humble yourself with respect to that person. So we honor one another. We open doors for one another. That's a step of preference, amen? Instead of rushing to get through the door first, we step back and allow the person to go in front of us. Here's the one that's really hard for some of us. How we give preference to one another. There's one piece of cake left and there's two of you there. You come into church and there's the place where you always sit. And there's some visitor sitting in your seat. You know, I've been in churches where they would tell you to move. We give preference to the other person. Oh yeah, that's where I normally sit, but I'm happy that person is there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them to sit in my seat. Hallelujah. I kept it warm just for them. Praise God. We give preference to one another. We need to find ways to put the other person ahead of ourselves.